It's difficult for me to say the things that I'm going to say tonight, all of them very heartfelt, things that I haven't said because the occasion had not yet presented itself. But today, on this, what we like to call netcast, what we like to call a digital cast, what we have tried not to call a podcast, not putting down anybody that uses that term, it just seems a bit more insular. It doesn't seem, well, it doesn't seem like the broadcast that we have so often done over the course of our career. What I'm going to tell you tonight, what I'm going to tell you today, I should say, is the result of a great deal of thought. It's the result of a great deal of contemplation and pondering and the result of a consultation with friends and fellow professionals, colleagues. And it has been not just days or months in the making, it has been years, years in the formulating. It is a hard thing for me to say. You probably have already guessed what it is I'm about to say, but I will tell you that I say it with a tinge of sadness, a glimmer of happiness, but not for any of the reasons you may think. Simply because I'm reflecting and feeling happy about the things I'm thinking of. I say it because I am grateful. You know, we hear this word gratitude thrown around an awful lot. Well, I'm grateful. I am happy, I'm grateful, and I am, yes, of course, a little bit sad in reporting to you today that I have decided that I am going to have gender reassignment surgery. I'm only kidding.
See, that...
Wait a minute, you're not supposed to say anything.
No, that's just cheap. Yeah, Phil, that is just cheap.
You're not... I'm supposed to... Okay, turn the tape off, bud.
No, I'm not gonna, because I agree that, you know, we thought
you were going to say something really funny that would turn what people thought was an announcement of your retirement on its head. We didn't know you were going to say, look at Phil, all that stuff in the news.
What about it?
All of the stuff about transgender this and that in the news, and you drop a joke like that, it's not funny, it's not even controversial, it's just crude and in poor taste, and it points a finger at you not to say, isn't this funny, but to say, look at me, look at how I can upset the apple cart a little bit.
I got to agree, Mr. Ernie, because I didn't know... You know,
wait just a minute here, okay? Wait, for you had the whole build-up to this thing. Now you want us to give our stamp of approval on your stupid little joke here, which right now everybody knows it's not a joke, or it is a joke, and that, of course,
I told him it was a joke.
Yeah, but it's not funny.
It's not funny. That's the whole point. Not funny. Yeah, it's just going for... It would be funny if it wasn't for everybody that's transgender in the news and everything.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, whatever Bud's trying to say, I kind of get the general drift of what he's saying. Basically, it is not the time or the place to make a joke like that. And Phil, and it's the general's saying everything that I'm thinking here, so, that, you know, go ahead. I would just add that it smacks of desperation, like you're trying to find something to shock the audience with.
Okay, are you guys done?
No, I'm not done. Not by a long shot, no.
Because I have something I want to say.
All right, well, you can say it when I'm done. It smacks of desperation. It smacks of a man who can't quite formulate a punchline, so he's just decided to deliver a punch.
I don't think it was that...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's the very good way of saying it. You just punched him. You didn't give a punchline.
Right, and so... before you say whatever it is you want to say, it does not have the Phil Hendry style, which is there is a certain flair that you give to things. There is a panache. There is what I would call an originality. That's it.
Yeah, right there. And that's why I associated myself with the show, thinking it was original. But you go for a stupid, dumb little gag like that with all the things in the news. It's very disappointing.
All right. Now I'm going to say something, okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you got nothing to say, do you? No. Oh, look at him. He's getting up and... Are you leaving? What's it look like?
Look, Phil, you can walk out of here, but now the audience knows you're being a petulant little baby. You're just being a little baby.
You are, Phil. You know, you might as well go out in the hallway and go... Mm-hmm.
I'm going out here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's go.
I'm going out here.
You're going out there what? To walk around in circles?
All right, okay, all right. I'm sitting down.
You've got nothing to defend yourself with, so don't even try. And we don't have to belabor this.
Well, that's what it's feeling like right now.
Well, okay, we're not going to belabor it, but, you know, rarely do we get an opportunity to sound off on you like this.
All right, it sounds like you guys are... piling on now.
No, we're not piling on. I mean, we're disappointed in a stupid joke. That's what, I mean, it's not piling on. We were thinking you're going to say something cool. Like, what happened? We talked about you're going to say you're going to retire.
I thought the retirement thing wasn't...
What, it wasn't funny enough? And you thought that this, I'm having gender reassignment surgery, with everything in the news, with all of the ill will and the strange news and the strange feelings, and that guy in Florida...
What's the guy in Florida?
The guy in Florida.
The guy, DeSantis.
Yeah, the guy declaring that somebody won a race. Did you see it?
I saw all the news, yeah.
Then why would you do this? That's our question.
Yeah, would you stick with you? You're going to say, and now I'm going to retire. Yeah, you know.
I wasn't going to. You were going to do that.
Right.
It just
didn't seem funny enough, huh?
No.
Well, guess what? You laid an egg.
That little ending to the story, Phil, that little turn where you said, instead of saying I'm retiring, and instead said that I'm having gender reassignment surgery, that is a grade double A.
Yeah. Yeah.
You laid an egg, son. You laid a big egg. The only thing I can say about the egg you laid, omelets for three, coming up.
Okay, bud, thank you.
All right.
All right.
And you were going to walk off. See, the thing of it is, you were going to retire, and then we were going to backfill with some other stuff. Now I don't know what to do.
I guess we can change it.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Well, all right, let's change it then. Let's do it again.
Take two on this real, real, I mean, a big wet mound.
Hi, everybody. It's Phil Hedry, and I have something I want to announce. It's difficult to say because it's a funny thing. You think it's going to be easy, and when that moment comes, you suddenly realize it's not that easy. You suddenly realize it's, you know, many years in the making, not just many minutes or many hours or a few weeks. This was years in the making, years of thinking about how would I say this. And first of all, I want you to know that what I'm about to say is said with... yes, sadness, but also there is joy, there is gratitude, the big, big word, and there's happiness. There is, I suppose you could call it a sadness that is about the fact that I'm going to miss a lot of things and the fact that I'm going to... not enjoy things as I used to. And you can well imagine, probably a lot of you have guessed, what it is I want to talk to you about tonight. And but again, please know I'm saying all of this with gratitude while I prepare for this chapter in my life. I want to tell you tonight, and I say this with honesty and with great gratitude, and I want to tell all of you, I want to announce to you, I should say, that I'm from another planet. I was born on another planet.
What are you doing, man?
Why don't you let me do it, okay?
You were going to say that you're resigning or retiring, right?
Yeah, you're going to say you're resigning.
I'm changing it.
Well, you already did that one.
What are you talking about? You did that 3 years ago, Phil. You said, I come from another planet.
Yeah, you did, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, see? And you're laughing.
It was funny then. It's not funny now.
It was funny then. When you first did, when you came on the show, whenever it was, what was that?
I think you were still on the radio when you did it.
Well, I don't remember.
Oh, give me a break. And number two, you already dropped an egg with that. I'm getting gender reassignment. Then you say, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll go with the original story, which was I'm resigning. right?
Yeah, but what was I going to follow that up with?
You were going to follow it up with, I'm leaving, and I'm, thank you very much, and then you would be back tomorrow and say that you changed your mind.
And you guys think that's funny.
Well, it's a hell of a lot,
it's a lot funnier, Mr. Henry, than saying, I mean, a generous M, or saying that you said the same thing 3 years ago, I come from another planet.
You did that already.
I don't remember.
Well, start remembering some things. When you did originally, when you said originally, but the show was 3 years ago, maybe it was on the radio, I forget. Maybe you've done it twice before. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Phil Henry. I come from another planet. That was funny. Today, it smacks of desperation.
That's it. You don't want to commit to the original idea, which was to say that I'm resigning tonight.
Right.
Why did you not?
I don't know. It just didn't seem, funny enough.
All right. It didn't seem funny enough. Okay. Duly noted. Saying you've had gender reassignment and saying you come from another planet, that ain't funny either. In fact, it's less funny.
It's nowhere near as funny as saying, I'm resigning.
Yeah, but I mean, what's funny about that?
What do you mean, what's funny about that?
Good question, bud. Thank you for being on my side.
No, I think it's funnier. I'm just wondering what's funny about it.
You think that's funnier than me saying I'm coming from another planet or I'm getting gender reassignment surgery?
Yeah, I do. But you're going to say...
tomorrow night he was going to come on and say, I'm only kidding.
Well, it's going to be later on in the program.
Or something like that.
Yeah, and you don't think that's stiff. I've said I'm only kidding about stuff a million times.
You did it. David Hall did it. And somebody said they had smallpox. They did it. I know. Bobby Dooley. She said that she had colon cancer and then she was only kidding.
Right.
Okay, so what do you... She did it already.
Other people have done the I'm only kidding thing. All right. And to be honest with you, I think it's very funny to say I'm only kidding, but you've got to say I'm only kidding to something that's worthy. To say, well, I'm having gender reassignment surgery, I'm only kidding. No one believes in a million years that you're having gender reassignment surgery. That's number one.
Margaret,
whoa. That's number one. Number two, I'm resigning, and then tomorrow, I'm only kidding.
Right. Well, what was I going to do for the rest of the show?
We had stuff written down, man. We got Vernon Dozier.
You had Coach Dozier coming on.
Well.
All right. And then to say, I come from another planet, I'm only kidding. Do you understand that saying you're from another planet or that you're getting gender reassignment surgery, people already know that you're kidding.
Why?
What?
Oh, my God. This guy asked, because obviously that's the most two of the most far-fetched things in the world. You getting sex change and coming from Mars or something.
Yeah, as opposed to saying I'm quitting, I'm resigning, I'm retiring, or whatever that.
Well, you're not doing good these last few days. What's going on with you anyway?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What's going on with you? You seem like you're struggling. You seem as if you're out of ideas. I don't know what it is.
You know what you need to do, and we've suggested this, take a month off.
A month?
Yes, a month.
Let the general host.
Yeah, general host, Ms. Gray and I will back it up.
For a month.
I don't stutter, Jack. For a month. 30 days, you need to be off the air.
You guys are serious, aren't you?
No, Phil, I'm looking at you because I think you belong in a hospital because I think it's cute to mess with you. Yes, we're serious.
You're serious, Mr. Henry.
Well... You know you want to take the... Don't give me this. You know you want to take the time off. You want to go to Florida. You want to be with Jackie.
Of course I want to be with her.
All right. Take the time and go to Florida.
I got a business to run.
Oh, give me a break. The business will hold, my friend. If you're on the air saying, I've had a sex reassignment. I've got sex reassignment surgery. I'm only kidding. I come from another planet. I'm only kidding. Friend, you are lost.
You're lost? You need to recharge the batteries. Go on.
How many times are you guys going to throw me off of my own show?
I don't know if it takes a million times or a zillion times. Or it takes a million gazillion times, we'll throw you off.
Go on, get lost.
Go on. Beat it.
Don't tell me to beat it or get lost, okay? Because...
What? People think you're going to pull out beat it?
Oh, bud, for Christ's sake.
All right. I hear what you're saying. I don't like being told to get lost or to beat it.
All right, but I'm telling... Okay, Phil, I apologize. But I'm telling you, after today's show... Get lost. I mean, get on a plane. You know, JetBlue's cutting the routes back.
They're not cutting them back to Fort Lauderdale.
They're not cutting them back to Fort Lauderdale.
No, they cut back the flight to West Palm Beach.
Right, that's what I read.
All right, well then get on a JetBlue and get your ass to Fort Lauderdale and hang out with Jackie. We'll take care of the show.
We won't do as good a job as you when you sit there saying, I come from another planet, I've had gender reassignment surgery.
Well, you don't look good, you don't sound good. This diet that you're on, you're going to die because you're not eating right.
What are you talking about, man? I'm eating nutritionally.
You got to get some real food into you, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, Mr. Raven, you got, what are you, 214?
I'm 214. I put on weight, you know, at Christmas.
Oh, at Christmas. We are 3 months past Christmas.
Margaret.
3 months past Christmas. You put weight on at Christmas. Friend, you're on your way back up to 260. Get out of here. Get some real food into you. Walk that. Go out and get some exercise.
Yeah, now there you go. You need exercise, fresh air.
You need exercise, fresh air, and fresh drinking water. Rainwater and grain alcohol.
What do you mean grain? What is that about?
That was a
Dr. Strangelove. He heard Jack Ripper.
Yeah, Jack Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, bud. I'll go get some rainwater and grain alcohol.
See, he's laughing at that.
Okay.
All right.
Go on.
Thanks, folks. I'll see you in a month.
He's only kidding. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by philhendryshow.com, the backstage pass. That's your ticket to fun and frivolity, your ticket to madness, glee, and a wonderfully glass-eyed time. Yes, the backstage pass, for a month or for a year. Don't make no never mind to us. Get one. Get it now. Feel it good. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show backstage pass.
The greatest value online other than porn.
You never had it so good.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show, and so I'm only kidding.
Yeah, we got it.
So, Coach Vernon Dozier joining us in studio here from Belmar Academy. Coach, how are you?
Yeah.
And I loved what you said the other day on Twitter, and we wanted you to sort of discuss this with us. You were talking about spring football.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying that a lot of these guys, the students, you know, and these are what? These are the juniors and the seniors?
Well, we're spring football is something we do prior to the summer months, and we have our camp in August, and we get down to two-a-days. But in the spring, we have our juniors and our seniors scrimmage. And what I said was that a lot of them act as if they're cutting weeds on a chain gang. And, you know, and I further said that if I find that attitude at all come summertime, then I put them on gravedig duty.
Now, this gravedig duty, which I've heard about.
And I know as a mother, Ms. Gray, I have a lot of the mothers of players questioning whether that's the way to go. And I've said to them, and I've told them, you know, I don't have to convince them. I just tell them, because we're a private school.
No, I understand you're a private school, which affords you a freedom of action that a public school would not, because you're not answerable to a school board.
No, but we are answerable to our parents, and we are answerable to the administration. But gravedig duty is something that I came up with as a way. Look, if you want to have a football team, and high school football in California and elsewhere, all across the country, high school football is a very big deal. It is something the schools identify with. It's something puts a couple of dollars into the pockets of the pockets of those people that need to have their pockets filled. Well, it makes it sound like we're being bribed or something.
Well, who does make the money?
The school makes the money, is what I'm trying to say. We have high sponsorship. We have a big sponsors. The CIF has sponsors like Toyota. So
is that CIF wide like Toyota?
Yeah, they buy the sponsorship of California high school football, essentially. But we had their banner up in our stadium last year. And so
you have the Toyota banner?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, you know, we're a bona fide fundraiser for the school. And also, of course, it's a point of pride. And so when I have these parents saying to me, what do you mean by gravedig duty? I go directly to our headmaster, who is Father McCorders. And I'll say, I got another question on gravedig, and he backs me up.
Well, what does he do?
He gets on. It takes about less than 10 seconds. When I say, I got another problem on gravedig, he gives me the high sign, picks the phone up, Ask me the number. I've already got the number written down. I just put it in front of him. He's on it. He puts it on speed dial. He's on the phone with the parent and is off the phone with the parent, I'd say, within about 15 seconds.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what is he? He's on the phone with the parent.
In other words, I'll come in. I'll say, we've got Gravedig. And
that's all you say. We've got Gravedig.
Yeah, because he knows what that means. That means there's a parent complaining about Gravedig duty. I'll come in. I'll say, we got Gravedig. And I'll say, we got Gravedig. He'll give me the high sign.
Now, what do you mean by the high sign?
He gives me the big thumbs up. I have the phone number of the parent ready, wadded up, and I'll just flick it to him.
What are you talking about, man?
You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it.
All right. You're not kidding.
Why would I be kidding? I don't understand. That whole concept, Phil, you asked me all the time, am I kidding? I'm here to give you some answers.
All right. You have the phone number of the parent ready, wadded up into a ball.
Yes.
And when he gives you the high sign,
you flick it to him.
Yes, I do. He unfolds it, sees the number, puts it on a speed dial.
Well, he can't speed dial it.
Well, he dials it up, and then eventually he does have on speed dial. Talks to the parent for 15 seconds. Essentially what he's saying is, Gravedig is a part of our football regiment. It's part of our spring football, and it's part of our training camp. Basically, it's part of our football practice. It's run by Coach Dozier. It will be Coach Dozier's call forevermore and a day. Thank you very much for your interest. But if your son does not cut it, if your son does not get the job done on the practice field, if your son is making these constant mistakes, if your son is not living up to a high standard of football play that is expected of him by the coach, assistant coaches, staff, and administration of Belmar High School, then Gravedig. It's a GD. And the parent will then say, what does that mean? And that's when Coach Dozier says, guided tour, 8 p.m. You know, I'll have a flashlight.
So you let the parents come over.
Yeah, you better believe it. And so we've had parents, and we've, as you know how we do grave dig, the kids dig their, they pretend like they're digging their own graves. They're not digging their own graves, but they're digging a hole. And I say it's got to be 6 feet down, 6 feet wide, big enough to hold you. And they'll say, Coach, you're talking about, yes, I'm talking about you. I have the coaches show up wearing short sleeve plaid shirts. If they can go ahead and get their hair cut down to a flat top, yes. If not, I understand.
What are you kidding? This is all meant to look as if it's the South in the 50s, and these guys are all Klansmen.
No, it's not. No, it is not, and I resent that.
Well, then why do you have these guys have flat tops, short sleeve shirts, and they have to park their cars around the hole with the headlights on?
It's hard to explain. It's a psychological effect.
Well, that's it. It's hard to explain, meaning you can't explain it.
You're talking about Gravedig, and you might make them think that they're the Ku Klux Klan.
What did he just say?
But he's basically saying, you want the kids to think it's the Ku Klux Klan. And you had one of your players, a young black kid, who was doing this Gravedig duty with this effect.
We didn't do it as long, and I told the kid, don't worry about it. And the guys were smoking Camel Straights. I said, put the cigarettes out. And I told them that it was not appropriate, you're right, for this young African-American kid.
Now, what did you do?
What do you mean, what did I do?
When this young African-American man was doing his grave dig duty, what did you do?
I told the coaches, well, let's just do it for about 10 seconds and then get in the cars, back the cars up so that you can see the headlights. They're, you know, you're backing them away. And I said, you know, let's dispense with the Pall Mall Straits and the Camel Straits.
Yeah, so in other words, you realize that that had a destructive effect on the psyche of that young man.
Well, I'll tell you something. Yes, I did, but I'll tell you something. As long as we mollycoddle these young people.
Coach, that's not mollycoddling a kid. That's trying not to strike a terror. That's not, you are terrorizing that kid.
All right, let's hold off for a minute. No, I am not. I give the same treatment to all these kids. But I tell you what, Phil, you come out, you coach the team, okay? All right? Make sure you bring along with you a whole bunch of their mommies. Because that...
Oh, Coach, you always do that.
That's what you people here on the Phil Henry Show advocate.
No, what we're saying is a young African-American boy... All right, let's get off the young African-American kid.
I understand, okay? But like I said, this is done to all of them. But if you don't like it, you make sure that you place a phone call to each and every one of their moms. And they'll come out to the game, and they'll come out to the practice. They'll come out to GD duty, and I'll
stand there, and the mommies will be there, and they'll have handkerchiefs out, and they'll also have butt wipe out.
Oh, my God, Coach.
Well, I'm sorry. So that's what you think it is, huh? That's what you think that we're advocating here, weakening these kids.
That's exactly what it sounds. Sounds to me like you want all these parents to show up with snot rags, butt wipe, that jock itch spray. I don't know what you want.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
I'm talking about how these kids are treated soft.
Right, we got to hold on. Let's be friends here, Coach. We're all friends.
Well, when you guys start questioning my methods, and when you intimate that I terrorize that boy,
look, you got to understand something. You have a young black kid, and he's digging his own grave by the headlights of cars with coaches in short sleeve shirts, smoking Camel Straights with flat top haircuts. What do you think?
It's the same way for all the other kids. Okay, fine. You know, if you don't want to be...
Look at Coach.
If you got the backing of Father McCorder's, well, after this show...
I'm just telling you, you know, that this can be, and I think what we're all trying to say is it can be psychologically damaging.
I just heard you do, Phil. I heard you pretend like you're going to have gender reassignment surgery. What about that? Mocking people. Yeah. Didn't think I heard that, did you?
That is true, Mr. Henry. You know,
he's got a point, Phil.
Oh, I see. So let's turn on Phil. That's what you just did. You said you're having gender reassignment surgery as a way of mocking those people and making them feel like they're less than nothing.
No, I did not do it for that reason. I did it as a gag on myself, pretending like I was going to retire, and I'm not.
Well, I don't get the gag on yourself thing, okay? Here's a gag on yourself.
Go, go. Go, go, go.
Yeah. What's the matter?
I'm getting up and leaving if I hear any more of that.
Right, Margaret. Coach, I apologize, Ms. Gray.
What we're talking about here, Coach Dozier, are your methods.
And I'm talking about the fact that I'm trying to make men out of these kids. My God, Ms. Gray, General Shaw, Bud, Phil, I have a very limited time with these young men in which I can whip them into shape, give them some sense of their duty to themselves and to their teammates. Teach them a high level of football. Give the school a little bit of pride. I've got 1, 2, maybe 3 years tops. I've got 3 years to somehow desperately try to make men out of these kids that come to me. Just moments before, they had a thumb jammed in their mouth, and they were going, Mommy! Tugging on the apron spring. What's...
You know, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I have a son, and I can assure you, I don't treat him that way.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever you say. Because God knows the most honest people about this are the mothers. They're always... God forbid that any of those...
Mama!
Is gonna...
All right, Coach, we get it. Okay?
Well, what's the problem?
You know, this whole mocking, saying mama...
That's what I hear in my mind at night when I go to sleep. That's what I hear when I wake up in the morning. That's what I don't want to hear when I get to the field. I don't want to hear all of my juniors, all of my seniors going, hey, Coach, can we bring our
mommies with us?
Where are you going, Coach?
Can I get a drink of water or something?
Yeah, right here.
Thank you. Coach Vernon Dozier with us. Well, Coach, you mentioned that you are going to keep doing grave dig duty, and the quote is, they're going to wake up thinking that they were cleaning Satan's fireplace.
That's right.
That's exactly right. I want them recognizing if they do GD duty, they do grave dig duty, okay, and they come out of that, they'll think they were cleaning Satan's fireplace. Now think about that.
What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you. What does it mean? What is Satan known for?
He's known for hell.
Yeah, but what specific thing in hell is he known for?
Pain.
Yeah, dishing out the pain.
No, but what? Yes, dishing. What element is he known for?
Element? What do you mean by an element?
I mean, you have earth, you have wind.
Earth, wind, and sea.
Yeah, earth, wind, and sea.
Oh, my God.
What is the story with you? Coach, we want you to treat these young people, yes, make them into football players.
You really don't know. No, hold on, Freddie. What is Satan, when you go to hell, you burn in what?
In hell.
In the pit of hell. No, but what are you burning in?
Your own sins. The sins you've committed.
Yeah, or the mistakes you made.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you, man?
Hey, Coach, you're asking us what? Oh, man. Oh, my God. Sit down.
What's, Coach, what can I get you, man?
Yeah. You want some chocolate milk or something?
Uh-huh.
You want chocolate milk?
Uh-huh.
Get him a chocolate milk. Coach Vernon Dozier has been my guest. I don't know what he's talking about.
He's talking earth, wind, and the sea.
The wind and the sea.
He's got a big problem. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much, folks, for listening. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
And we're listening to you right now to great sounds of Marcus Bolanos, Surfing Day. Yeah.